Luke, what's your hilarious segue that'll definitely keep you in the episode?
Okay, so Wesley is your cat, played by Will Wheaton in Star Trek, who stars along Corey Feldman in Stand By Me, and right. Corey fucking Feldman is the best part of Friday the 13th, the final chapter.
So there we go. That, how's that for a stand-up to a wheel broom? Point of clarification, although you are correct in that Wesley was played by Will Wheaton in Star Trek, Wesley, our cat, is named after Cary Elwes's character from The Princess Bride. So,
well, let's see. Cary Elwes
was in Saw, which was
Lee Winnell. Lee Winnell probably watched Star Trek, I imagine.
Okay.
He watched Friday the 13th, which has Kevin Bacon in it.
Exactly. And we're playing this lineage game, which is named after Kevin Bacon in the same franchise.
There we go. All right. Yes. Speak of the devil. Well, Wesley's meowing now, so this is going to be a great recording. All right.
That's all right.
Let's talk about this movie. Welcome to a very special bonus episode of Nothing to Veer. Nothing to Veer, damn it. Nothing to Veer.
Nailed we will stay on course no matter what.
Nothing to fear. Yep. A very special Friday the 13th episode. That's right. Another Friday the 13th has rolled around since the start of the inception. And that means another Friday the 13th movie. This time it's Friday the 13th for the final chapter. My name is Billy Schultz. I run the show. I'm joined by my two friends to talk about this wacky slasher movie from 1984. I'm joined by Alex Wan and Luke Mason. Alex, how are you this evening?
I'm really excited to talk about this movie.
I'm also joined by Luke Mason. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I am here to talk about this movie.
You're here.
But I am also feeling well, so that's good too.
That is
how are
very
you, Billy?
Good. I'm doing good. It's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, and I'm here to talk about a horror movie that I watched yesterday. And let me tell you, I already forget so much of it. Such is the lasting impact that Friday the 13th has made.
Good
on
thing
me.
Alex and I take notes.
Definitely, you definitely take such good notes. Yeah, so this is a special episode, and I did not do any of my usual preparation, including like trigger warnings or budget and box office or anything. So, you know what? It's a slasher movie, folks. Check out doesthedogdie.com for the triggers that may or may not come up. And we are going to get right into it with the trailer. And so skip ahead 2.5 minutes if you don't want to hear a lot of ch-ch-ch-ch. And then we'll be talking about this movie.
Three times before, you have felt the terror, known the madness, lived the horror. But this is the one you've been screaming for. Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Jason is back. He moves like a shadow, dark and silent.
Sorry, you change your mind?
He never utters a word. He doesn't even seem to breathe.
Where the hell is the corkscrew?
He simply, mindlessly, mercilessly, kills. But now, Jason's reign of terror is over. Friday the 13th, the final chapter. Jason's unlucky day.
Alex,
okay,
take it away.
Friday the 13th, colon, The final chapter is a 1984 American slasher film directed by Joseph Zito, produced by Frank Mancuso Jr., and starring Kimberly Beck, Corey Feldman, Crispin Glover, and Peter Barton. It is the fourth installment in the Friday the 13th franchise. Picking up immediately after the events of Part 3, the plot follows a presumed dead Jason Voorhees who escapes from the morgue and returns to Crystal Lake to continue his killing spree. The film marks the debut of the character Tommy Jarvis, played by Corey Feldman, who would make further appearances in two sequels and related media, establishing him as Jason's archenemy.
That's right. We've got Jason's archenemy now. I went on a bit of a deep dive after watching this to just sort of see the lore of Friday the 13th, and boy oh boy, it gets nuts. It just gets absolutely crazy. So in a small way, I'm very excited to keep going with this franchise. And in a larger way, I can't wait to talk about how just random this movie is and a little bit surprising. So before we recorded, Luke, you mentioned that this was the best one so far, least bad one so far. What was your exact words on this movie?
Well, yeah, I think of the four, this is the best one, but I also want to be very emphatic that that's saying literally nothing. Like,
right.
It's still a terrible film, but it was less offensive to me than the other three.
Right. Minus 100 degrees Celsius is warmer than absolute zero, but it will still kill you.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
This movie had the advantage of having Crispin Glover and Corey Feldman in it. So at the very least, it reminded me of other movies I like.
Yeah.
So
I wanted to mention that. Like Crispin Glover, of course, from Back to the Future as Marty McFly's dad. I was surprised to see him show up. And Corey Feldman showing up. All right. So if you notice my Discord name, I thought of a joke to piss off one Victorian author, I thought, while we were watching this movie, and that was Jason was dead to begin with. Just a little borrowing from Charles Dickens, because this movie starts with the apparent death of Jason Voorhees, our main villain who's inexplicably around and still in pop culture, despite at this point being dead right away. And oh boy, I gotta say, this whole movie, I still don't understand why Jason is so popular. I don't know where it comes from. You know, he's got the mask now. He had a machete in this one, but I don't get it. I don't get why Jason is like so enduring and such a legend of the horror movie genre, aside from the fact that he literally will not die. And even if you cut him into a million pieces, he comes back. So I don't know. He's got no motives. He's got no understanding. He's just like a force of nature who will kill anyone for any reason at any time. I don't get it.
Isn't that kind of like Michael Myers, though?
Well, Michael Myers has like this whole like Laurie Strode fixation, which is at least like one person. But and we see sometimes that Michael Myers won't kill people that are like standing in his way, whereas Jason just seems to like be a murder machine, and if you're in front of the murder machine when it gets to you, then you're dead, unless you're the final girl, in which case he misses a lot. And so, yeah, I don't know. He feels like he has less of a motive than Michael Myers. But we also haven't, I guess we've seen the same amount of Halloweens now.
Like, maybe his Laurie Strode is just whoever is in the vicinity of Crystal Lake.
He's just got a Crystal Lake radius. And he's like, if you're in this circle, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Because he hasn't left this place so far, right?
No. No, he hasn't.
But he will.
He will. He's going to go to Manhattan at some point.
Yeah, but that's still in the radius of Crystal Lake. To some degree.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. Of every
same
point.
With when he goes to space. It's like
still a radius. Yep.
Yeah.
You can make a radius that includes Crystal Lake from space. You're right.
After four movies, I would say these movies, if I've noticed anything, is that they're not really about Jason at all. So I don't really understand why Jason is this monster figure in culture, because they're really just about these stupid teenagers who die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like Jason has very little screen time in all of the movies. And when he is on screen, for the most part, it's just his legs or his feet. So yeah. This movie is actually just about dumb naked teenagers. This isn't like this shouldn't even be called like, I guess Jason isn't in the title, but this movie, like, why? It should just be drunk, dumb teenager, drunk, horny teenagers. You're welcome.
Yeah. Drunk, horny teenagers, colon, it's raining outside at some point in every one of these movies. Yeah. So, like, speaking of the horny teenagers and the cast of characters, like, the cannon fodder Jason gets to kill in this movie is so random and so disparate that it, like, borders on nonsense. Like, it doesn't seem like there's any way to be safe from Jason, whether you're... I guess, like, at the start of this movie, there's a doctor and a nurse who get killed, and that's because they have sex, like, literally right next to him, which I guess Jason hates people having sex. We know that.
That's why he drowned.
He can't stand the fact that someone else is having a good time.
Well, isn't that first movie, like, it's because the counselors at the camp were hooking up and they didn't pay attention to Jason when he drowned?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I guess he's just like, how dare you have sex? And I mean, it is disrespectful to have sex next to somebody if they're not, like, consenting to do it. And it's...
Yeah, but they're dead.
But what if they're dead, Billy?
Well, then that's just like a gross question of morality.
Yeah, but who are you harming in that situation?
I guess so. Yeah, true. I don't know. I don't like being backed into this corner. I don't want to come out on favor of, like, having sex in front of dead bodies on the side of, like, supporting.
You don't have to be in favor. You just have to accept it because there's morally, I don't think there's anything wrong with it, right?
Who are you hurting? Nope. Who's getting hurt in this situation, yeah, Billy?
Like, actually.
The families of the victims?
They don't know.
He's an orphan. He doesn't got no family.
And it's even true. If they did, they didn't know. They don't know.
Yeah. It's true. Who's going to rat him out? The dead guy?
Yeah, the dead guy.
The dead guy. He's going to come up and bone saw them.
Well, Jason's going to have to learn how to talk then.
Well, he did some, like, grunts in this movie. Some, like,
All right, Jason.
Because that's what he heard when he was supposedly dead. So he's just imitating it.
You know? Jason, one grunt for horny medical staff boning around you, and two grunts for no horny medical staff boning around you.
He's just going to machete you or, like, kill you with whatever he's got to hand. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, the doctors at the start, then the, like, random hitchhiker who he just stabs for, I guess, because she was there. That was weird. And then they just literally, for the first 20 minutes of this movie, just throw characters at the screen with no, like, little to no exposition. And you get, like, a snapshot to see that, like, this guy is horny guy. This guy is dorky guy who's also horny. This guy is, these girls are horny girls 1 and 2. And then the prude and third horny girl. And that's all we get. Like, I can't remember a single person's name. I can't remember, like, a single distinguishing characteristic except for Crispin Glover, who reminded me of Jimmy Jr. from Bob's Burgers.
You know what this might be? I don't know. Maybe there are movies that did this before this. But this might be the first example of shameless movie commercialism. Because it is just a spectacle. There's nothing to this film at all. And,
movies,
you know,
definitely
we
did it before this one.
You're so brave for saying this, Luke.
I know. But, like, well, I don't know. We talk a lot about, in the modern era, of movies that are, like, Hollywood is just not original anymore. And there's just pumping out sequels, like, I don't know, The Conjuring 4 forever. And, you know, just try, tested, and true because it makes money. And, I mean... I don't know. Was there franchising like this before the 80s for films where it was just a pure cash grab for it? I mean, maybe B-movies, maybe porn stuff, but yeah. I can't really think of, like, major motion pictures in the 70s.
Maybe the Hammer horror stuff. Like, I've heard, we haven't watched any of the Hammer horror selections, but I think those were a bit earlier and they were kind of like cheap, schlocky. One every year, put them out.
Yeah, but were,
like,
they as famous as these movies?
Not, I don't think they were. They didn't reach across the, you know, the broad stream market appeal, whereas, you know, like everyone has heard of Jason Voorhees, even if you don't like horror, but maybe not everyone knows that Christopher Lee played Dracula in a bunch of movies, like in the 70s.
Well, hold on. So, like, the main reason they kept making these, though, is because people wanted to go see them, right?
Yeah.
So, I think it contextually, do you think maybe our generation, or sorry, your generation's Friday the 13th is, like, something like Saw?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to make that point earlier. Yeah. Saw, in a way, is just as fucking stupid and nonsensical and kind of pointless as Friday the 13th. But people keep wanting to go see them. So that's why they're making it.
The first one was a lot better than the first Friday the 13th. So at least it like started with some storytelling integrity.
Well, no, I was going to make that connection later on, Alex, because, yeah, these movies that we've watched, they are listed as coming out every single year, like 1981, 1982, 1983. This one's 1984. And the Saw movies, I think up to, was it 6 or 7? Like that came out one a year. So I think, yeah, like Friday the 13th success may have inspired the filmmakers and the team behind the Saw movies, because it's like, okay, this is a known quantity now. And we will pump them out because they're easy to make and people seem to turn out for the box office, turn out at, you know, at the theaters for these films. So, yeah.
I mean, the one major difference, though, is that we, as fucked up as it is, we know what our antagonist's motivation is in Saw. So it's not like just a pure Rorschach
test. To teach a lesson, right?
It's not a pure Rorschach test of what's happening.
Mm-hmm. But I wonder if that's because when Friday the 13th was coming out, there wasn't a desire in the cultural taste to have like a reason behind it. It was just like, it was fine to have Jason be there and kill people and you see boobies.
It was scary enough to just go camping.
Right. But by the time 2005 rolls around, the film going audience is maybe a little bit more sophisticated and they want to build in some more story to it, because even though these Friday the 13th movies are back to back to back, like they happen in chronology, like within the span of like 2 years or something, they could just all be separate movies. Like it's just a different random selection of conventionally attractive people, a killer who you mostly see in the shadows or in long shots or in obscure angles until the very end. And then, at the end, you think it's all fine, but there's something that happens to make it not fine. And
that's right.
Also, I don't know when it's going to stop, but so far, every single movie has like contained what happened in the previous movie ahead of it to catch people up. So I feel
previously on Friday the 13th, right?
Yeah. I feel like had either of you wanted to skip out on one of the movies, you would have been okay, at least up until this one, to like have missed them and like watch this one.
Because so this is number 4, and I don't know how many there are. Like how many total are there?
I think there's 11 total.
11? So like I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say, outside of the first one, all the movies have Jason killing people, and at the end he gets defeated. But not really.
I think that's a pretty safe bet.
You know, just like how in the Saw movies, it's people trying to escape traps, and some do and some don't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same kind of premise for every single one. So it's like...
Mm-hmm. Most don't. Almost none of them escape the traps throughout the movies.
That's true.
So it's like... I really don't know what I'm supposed to say about this movie, because everything I've said about Friday the 13th, the first one, part 2, part 3, I'm going to say about this one. So at this point, it kind of like feels a little bit redundant. Like I have nothing original, no new viewpoints or anything. Mm-hmm. I guess my one insight is if you want to, you know, survive and defeat Jason, you need to be a child.
And look like his mom.
Look like himself. Yeah. Because, you know, apparently mirrors stun him. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the newest insight. Everything else is really like the same. Like, honestly, you could plop down, someone could make a super edit of all the kills, and and show it to me, and they would be like, all right, which Friday the 13th was this kill from? I really wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's maybe some contextual clues, like, okay, if he has a mask on, it's not one or two, right?
Yeah. If he's in space, it's not.
He loves torso and throat impalements. That's like his go-to.
He really does. Yeah, he really does.
Yeah. Because right now, all four of these are also in a camp setting, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, even the set hasn't changed.
Yeah, it's always in the woods. It's always raining. It's always, he bursts through a wall or bursts through a window or bursts through a door. And, you know, the kills are what people come out for. So knowing or foreseeing that maybe there wouldn't be many new insights in this, I came forearmed with a couple of questions to ask. Not simply like, what did you like and what didn't you like? Because we've already done that one. But what do you think the best kill of this movie was?
I don't remember.
I actually don't remember either.
You don't remember?
Okay. Let's go down the list. So In the morgue, he kills the coroner. And how did he kill the coroner? He
bonesawed his neck off. He had a rib cage saw.
Yeah. And then the nurse, he stabs her with a syringe or a needle? Is that what happened?
Yeah, we don't really see her. We see him grab her face, and then he sort of reaches over to a sharps container and stabs her with something. Because he doesn't care about biohazards.
Yeah. How does he kill the hitchhiker?
Stabs her through the neck squeezes a banana until the banana falls out of the peel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Metaphor.
And then we had, I think the silliest one was, apparently Jason then waits underneath the raft for forever until someone decides to get on the raft, which then he stabs a girl who goes out for a midnight skinny dip, and then her boyfriend follows right after. So he kills her on the raft, then he stays in the lake, her boyfriend comes out, and he does the harpoon gun to the crotch. Which that was my favorite one, because I was like, okay, didn't see a spear gun to the groin coming out. And then what happened?
Groin pains.
Yeah. Oh, and then number 7 was, one of the twins goes out in the rainstorm and she's going to ride her bike away. And then we see him kill her in a lightning flash. Like, we don't actually even see it, but it's like a silhouette. Mm-hmm. And he impales her onto the house. And then Jason gets in the house and he throws the other twin out the window, kills her that way. Which one? Oh, hang on, I missed one, because
Does he kill the mom sometime?
We don't see the mom get killed, but I have to assume she's dead, because she never shows back up after she runs off. Oh, and then Crispin Glover gets killed with the corkscrew to the hand and then a big meat cleaver to the face.
Yes.
In the kitchen.
Which is ironic, because he was trying to find the corkscrew opener to open the bottle of wine.
Yep.
So that's some kind of clever writing, right? Irony in death. That's something Shakespeare would have written, you know?
That definitely would have been Shakespeare.
Like, imagine if, you know,
The Taming of the Corkscrew.
Hamlet's father got killed by his uncle or something, you know? Something crazy like
man,
that.
Man, so crazy. Pouring poison in his corkscrew. Or ear. I don't know.
Ear screw.
And then Teddy, the stoner guy who's watching old-timey porn, which could have been, I guess, Pearl's early film work, he does a stab from behind the movie screen, which was he's watching the movies and he's dead, so I guess
will this come out before Pearl does?
No, it won't.
Pearl comes out on my birthday, 23rd. Comes out in 10 days.
Oh.
Oops.
Maybe you should bleep that out.
So this Friday the 13th doesn't come out before the 23rd?
Yeah. Yeah, Luke. Did I blow your mind?
What?
Billy's being facetious.
This one comes out on Friday the 13th. And then the Pearl episode will come out on January the 23rd.
So how will people listening to this know that that's in the Pearl episode?
I forgot. Because podcast time is weird.
That's how. Okay.
Of course, yeah, okay.
Okay, then anyway, number 10, he kills the guy in the shower just by smashing his face, just by pressing into his face real hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the second to final girl.
Did the guy in the shower not look a little like Jared Leto to you? I thought it was like, is that a really young Jared Leto?
Yeah, he did look a little Jared Leto-y. And then his girlfriend got killed via an axe through the door, took her down in the torso. And then there's a character of the, I titled him Jason Hunter, because he's just like some random guy who's like seeking Jason.
He's not random. He's your name's brother, right?
Someone's brother. Yeah. Very important. I don't know who.
Sandra Deer. Because his name was Rob Deer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She was from the second one.
Oh, okay.
Obs.
So, obviously. So then he gets killed in the basement. And then I think it's Sarah? Or whatever Tommy's sister's name is. She's the final girl because Jason suddenly... Trish, right. Trish. Because Jason suddenly can't kill her in one shot, even though he can kill everybody else, but he suddenly starts missing. So he doesn't kill anybody until, you know, Tommy goes up, shaves his head real fast and real disturbingly, and then distracts him long enough to get, like, hacked to pieces by his own machete, which is not even his own machete, because he just finds weapons. It's not...
Yeah, it was Rob's machete.
Yeah, Jason Hunter. So
ever watch that show Man Tracker or Man Hunter? Is it Man Tracker?
It's one of
like
those.
A Canadian show where like you just have two like a random guy that they pick from the city, throw him in the wilderness, and it's like, all right, you get like a 2-hour head start, mm-hmm. and then they get like a cowboy guy to like hunt him down and to track him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was a cool show.
It's a cool show. It was like the deadliest game, but didn't end up with like a human getting hunted for sport.
Yes. Not relevant to this episode, but I just thought of that.
Not relevant to the episode.
Sorry, I've already forgotten the early kills. So I'm going to pick whatever the last one was.
The Jason Hunter.
Yeah, Jason Hunter. That was the best one.
Mm. The Jason Hunter becomes the Jason Hunted.
Mm. Right. I like the corkscrew kill.
Yeah.
Because that was just good comedic writing, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, because he was trying to find the corkscrew to open the bottle of wine to celebrate. And he gets corkscrewed in the hand, which is funny because he was looking for that exact same corkscrew to open his bottle of wine to celebrate. But the fact that he gets stabbed in the hand with that corkscrew makes it so not only did he find the corkscrew, but now he's incapable of using it because his hand is injured.
Oh, man. Real gifts of the Magi situation, hey?
Yeah. So it's just... Yeah. No matter how you look at it, it's funny.
You know, actually, so the death of the hitchhiker made me roll in my eyes the most. So I guess I liked it because that was actually the least annoyed emotion I felt. Just because it's like, oh, our car is full of assholes who are assholes to this hitchhiker. But now Jason's killing this hitchhiker. Just so you know, Jason's here around these assholes. It's like, we fucking know Jason's around these assholes. That's why we're watching this movie. The movie's like trying to give us a plot or like some tension. Oh, careful. In case you didn't know, Jason's going to be around all of these people that has been dying the last three movies. Oh, thanks, movie. How would I know what Jason...
Easter egg, though, in that scene?
What Easter egg?
That
you see, you see his mom's grave.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
You see Pamela...
I thought you were saying that... I think there was a... the hitchhiker was Canadian. I thought
she had her sign said Canada and peace.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of her sign, it said, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's good writing.
That's good writing.
Nailed it. Nailed it.
She's not all about Canada and peace. If she doesn't get her way, she's quick to say, fuck you. So it's just so, yeah, it's just so dumb to just have a random bunch of teens that are just going to die. And they just, for some reason, they feel the need to have a couple kills early and up front. And then just 45 minutes of nothing happening. Just people getting drunk, being silly, get your nudity in there, you know, tick all those boxes until it's, I guess, rainy enough for Jason to start killing people. let's talk about the least annoying part of the movie, which you said was Corey Feldman. So, Luke, what is your history with Corey Feldman as an actor? When
well,
did you first
just,
inter-
well, Stand By Me. He's great.
Stand By You, yeah.
He's
Stand
just great. So, every time he was on screen, I was thinking, oh, yeah, Stand By Me. That's a great movie. And then I was less annoyed.
See, I was thinking Goonies, because that's where I know him from. Probably even more than Stand By Me, Goonies was like a formative film for my childhood, which it seemed to just always be on like reruns when I was growing up. And so I saw it a fair few times. Alex, you're so much younger than us. Do you have any nostalgia around Corey Feldman?
No, zero. I haven't seen Stand By Me. I haven't seen Goonies. I haven't seen Gremlins. So,
seen Gremlins?
No.
He's not
no.
Gremlins.
Yeah, he is. Isn't he?
Is he?
I don't know.
Seen Gremlins? I know he's in Lost Boy. This is Lost Boys, which is a vampire movie from a couple years later.
Yeah, he's in Gremlins.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I have zero relation to Corey Feldman. I know he was a very famous child actor who fell into the world of exploitation and drugs. Very sad story, but that's all I know. Name is famous enough, yeah.
It was one of the Coreys. It was like Corey Feldman and Corey Haim, I think, that was like kind of the heartthrobs of the 1980s for a certain generation.
Yeah. I wasn't born yet, so I wouldn't know.
No, you weren't born yet. You were just a little, you were just an imagination.
I was a pre-sperm.
You were a pre-sperm. Okay. Good. Good, good, good. I felt that they were setting up something for his character, for Tommy, to, I don't know, I thought that the masks that he apparently was creating were going to come back into play in this movie. And when they didn't, I thought that it would have, you know, severely pissed off Chekhov to have like all the setups of this like prosthetics, and he's got animatronics and robots, and it amounts to nothing. Very frustratingly.
See, your mistake was expecting something.
I know.
We're four movies in. You should know by now. In the second movie, I was expecting the hockey mask, and I was disappointed. So I learned, don't expect anything from these movies anymore.
Right. I think the chief difference, maybe, is at this point, Alex and I, though we did not watch a good movie, we were not disappointed by it.
I was not disappointed by it either. It was what
just,
I expected.
Just that part?
Just, I thought, like, you know, all the signs of it being something that was going to be referred back to.
No. Billy.
Were there.
Billy.
No.
That's just basic writing.
Billy.
No, it's not.
Billy. Billy.
No. This Come movie on, transcends Billy. Basic writing.
Yeah.
The writing is so good that
it's its own
funny,
thing.
You know?
It's
like the scene thing. Where he gets stabbed in the hand with a corkscrew.
Yeah.
You know, see, it's funny because he was looking for that specific. Because
here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Stabbed in the neck with a machete. In a normal movie, that person dies. Mm-hmm. In this movie, they get 11 movies. Satire.
Satire. Satire. But I don't know. They have like Tommy at the end looking real crazy. Like he doesn't look like he's okay.
See,
I mean, he did just kill a man.
Yeah.
Well, they knew. I actually don't know if this is lines up time wise or not, but maybe Friday the 13th saw. Halloween 4 and was like, they got a kid who's fucking involved in this now somehow too, we got to do the same.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, that's isn't that exactly how Halloween 4 ends with Jamie, but
they're like, oh, here's the twist, instead of being the killer, he'll be the anti-killer.
Wait, which one's Halloween 4?
The Curse of Michael Myers. We watched it like 2 years ago.
No, we did not.
Yeah, it's the one where the little girl becomes the killer.
Yeah.
Who? What?
Yeah.
No, okay, so we watched the first Halloween. We watched the Halloween that takes place in the hospital. Then we watched...
Season of the Witch.
We watched the Season of the Witch, and then we watched the reboot.
Yeah, and then I think the next Halloween, we had to watch one, and it was like Halloween 4.
No, we did one for sequel month.
We...
Oh,
it was
right.
In sequel month.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
No. Did you two record an episode without me?
Hey, and you know, maybe in February we can have a few more Halloweens coming up.
Maybe. No,
I don't. I actually like Like, this is not a bit. This is not a joke. I don't recall any of this.
Well, we did
it. I promise you it's on there. It's I don't know, remember what number episode it is, but it is.
I think at whatever, yeah. 140, whatever we're at now, you can afford to have forgotten some.
Yeah, that's totally fine. It totally makes sense that, you know, you forget. I forget things that I've recorded and things that
I want to forget the first few episodes we did. I'm just kidding.
We got sort of better.
We were just so we're
got
so
sort
official.
Of better, and then we ended up here on Friday the 13th: the final chapter.
Hey,
the final chapter. Yeah,
we rise or lower to the level of our whatever it is we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing to say about this movie. Like functionally, factually, there's no insights.
It had more nudity than the other ones.
It had way more nudity.
Way more nudity.
It had some substance consumption, a little bit of pot, but not as much, I feel like, as other movies. And yeah, I mean, teens having sex, getting killed. Like, it, I think that the reason that the trope of a slasher movie being, you know, teens being slaughtered for breaking rules is just because Friday the 13th happened in the 80s, when a lot of people's like memories were forming and, you know, personalities and adult independence. Like, this was like, this would have been for Gen X, I guess, like right around when they're teenagers and seeing things on their own and divorcing themselves from the control of their parents and rebelling and all that stuff. So like, yeah, I can totally see how this section of time would have been very formative for an entire group of people who, you know, have disposable income and not a lot on, you know, there's no more Star Wars movies coming out in this time period. Like, that's like decades away. So,
ouch.
You gotta watch something.
Oh, are you talking about like the 2018 Halloween?
No. Halloween
what?
4.
We watched Halloween 4.
We did not watch Halloween 4.
Oh my God. I feel like I want to bet you now.
The Return of Michael Myers? When did we watch this movie?
Okay, I'm gonna look it up because you don't. So dumb.
It's definitely we did it.
We did it.
The little girl was really cute, and then she was the killer, and you're like, yeah, well,
wow, how come?
Oh yeah, we did watch this movie. Okay, when did we watch this fucking movie?
It was
a bunch ago.
Huh.
It was before I moved to. It came out August 16th, 2021. So we would have recorded it sometime in July that year.
Okay.
How long have we been going?
I remember that movie.
Are we going to be at 3 years this summer?
Yep, 3 years.
Wow.
3 years of this, everybody. Thanks for listening. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? Who cares? Let's wrap this episode up. It's a bonus episode. It's silly. It can be less than an hour long. It doesn't matter. But I am going to make you go through the scariest part of the movie. So, for me, it was Corey Feldman shaving his head real aggressively. Mm. That just upset me. Just the way he's holding the razor, the way he's like determinedly shaving all his hair off, and then the wig he had to wear with all the little tufts of hair. Didn't like it.
That was a wig? Like
it. It was a bald cap, yeah. It's definitely a bald
cap. I thought he actually cut all his hair.
You know what? Maybe he's a method actor, but I don't think so. So that's my scariest part. It is Tommy shaving his head and then just like, get that boy some therapy. Oh my God. He needs it. Luke, what's your scariest part? I know you can't remember anything that happened in this movie, but
the scariest part was like thinking Jason might have killed the dog.
Yes.
So once I saw the dog okay again, I was unscared again.
That's good. Yeah, that's good. That was another question I didn't ask, but I wrote like, oh, what's the least obnoxious character in this movie? And it was Gordon the dog. Hands down. Nobody else even comes close.
Wasn't even close, yeah.
Yeah. Alex, scariest part?
The scariest part of this movie for me is when their car breaks down and you see Corey Feldman's character tinkering around with under the hood and something to do with electricity. You don't mess with electricity.
Yeah. What was up with him? Like, I guess he was supposed to be some kind of like genius who like can repair anything and fix anything, because they were just like, the car doesn't work, here you go, 10-year-old, can you fix it?
Yeah, so what? That was a little scary, because, like, what if you shock yourself? What if you aren't grounded and, I don't know, some kind of current DC'd your arm?
Yeah, doesn't Rob come out with, like, a knife and just, like, press it against, like, a wire and part of the car? And he's like, try it now. Okay.
Yeah, that seems unsafe. I you know what? I don't know. Who am I to say? I don't know anything about how cars or electricity work, so maybe it is totally safe, but it seemed dangerous to me, and that's why that was my scariest part.
You're right.
Yeah.
I feel like pressing a bladed weapon into any part of a car is just generally not a good idea, but what do I know? I'm not a mechanic. Okay. The movie's very scary. We established that with our scariest parts. I think we should rate this thing and then get the hell out of here, because I got to go to bed. So I can't rate it what I was going to rate it out of, since Pearl hasn't come out yet, because it was going to be movies that Pearl would have been in. So I need something else to rate it out of. Rack your brains, friends.
I think we should rate it out of the funniest part of the movie, which is corkscrews.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
The really funny part about this movie is when, you know, he's looking for that corkscrew to open a bottle of wine.
And it's hits his hand and gets him. Oh my God.
So he gets so it funny. In his hand, but not in the conventional way of, like,
he's not holding
the corkscrew.
Yeah, yeah. He wishes he was holding the corkscrew, but it's actually holding him to the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. This movie's hilarious. 5 out of 5. That's what I give it. Okay. So we'll rate it out of corkscrews that I don't really understand why they're funny, but I guess they are. Alex, can you explain why the corkscrews are funny?
No, I've already done that multiple times. I'm not doing it again. You can go back and listen.
And you will.
Here, I thought I'd get you to do the bit one more time. No, I give this a 2 out of 5. 2 out of 5.
Two? It's, wow.
Yeah. It's higher than the other ones. But, you know, I laughed at some parts. I groaned at a lot more parts. And I guess, like, just because there's a mental image in my mind of what Jason should look like, and every movie he's getting closer to that pop culture icon that we see and that exists in our world now, I'm like, okay, he's at least getting to the thing everybody says he looks like. So 2 out of 5. Luke, Mason.
Yeah, I think this is the best one yet. So I'm going to give it the highest rating I'm pretty sure I've given of any Friday 13. So I'm going to give this a 0.52 corkscrews out of 5. I think 0.51 has been the best. I can't remember if this is this or this one, a different one. So 0.52 corkscrews.
I think I gave the first one 0 out of 5. I'll have to look at that spreadsheet. Danica, how's that coming?
Which is one less nail than was in that eavesdrop.
Oh, yes. How did we go so far without referencing the nail in the eavesdrop? Okay, Alex. How many corkscrews out of 5?
I'm going to give 1 corkscrew out of 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is, you know, funny enough, there was 1 corkscrew in this movie, which was the one that stabbed him in the hand. Which is funny, because he was looking for it to open that bottle of wine, but it ended up the wrong way in his hand, you know?
Yeah.
So he couldn't really use it anymore, because his hand's injured and the corkscrew's all bloody. You don't want to get your wine bloody. That probably just doesn't taste very good.
It's going
to
ruin the terroir. Yeah.
Yeah. A 1 out of 5. There's no expecting anything from these movies, and I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, even though this one says it's the final chapter, we've got Friday the 13th, part 5, coming in October 2023, which is the next time there's a Friday the 13th. So we'll see you folks in 9 months for another one of these, unless you cash in that card. But we'll say goodbye. Alex and Luke, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for listening to the bonus episode. And remember, folks, they're just movies. There's nothing to fear. Thank you for listening to Nothing to Fear. Leave a rating and a review wherever you got this podcast. Every little rating helps us move up in the charts and helps more people find us and makes us feel good and lets us know we're doing a good job. You can also follow the show on social media. We have an Instagram. It is Nothing to Fear Podcast on Instagram. We're also on Mastodon. Go to @ntfpod@horrorhub.club to check out what we're doing on there. If you would like to support the show financially, you can head over to patreon.com/nothingtofear to give a little bit to the show and help us keep renting movies, getting equipment, and just generally making the show. We really appreciate everyone who gives. Once you've listened to our show, you can also check out what Luke is up to. He does two other podcasts called Really True Fiction and Liberal Soul. And he also co-hosts a radio show called Full Spectrum Cinema on Kootenai Co-op Radio. Check out those discussions on movies. They're a good, fun time. Alex can be found at One Song a Day on Instagram, where he puts a new song up every day. And there's an ever-growing Spotify playlist for you to check out. Once again, we love you so much. Thank you forever, forever, ever, and see you next time.